You have your Bibles this morning. If you would take your Bible and find the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, I'd like you to find the 17th chapter first, and then also chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and then the very first chapter of Samuel. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a black hardcover book in front of you in the pew. Maybe somebody will notice you don't have one and hand it to you. Don't be offended or anything. They just want you to be able to follow along in God's Word. 1 Samuel, chapter number 17, and then 1 Samuel, chapter number 1. So much that I want to accomplish this morning. I hate time. I know you thank God for it, or we'd be here all day, but I hate time. We have had a great, great missions month. Started by looking at our thought for worldwide evangelism and our responsibility as church members and as individuals that know the Lord. And we looked at the great commission that was given to the church by the Lord Jesus and how that we're all to have a part in that great commission. We moved on with Brother Steve being here and preaching to us about those churches and those men and women in the Bible that stood up and gave and helped missions along, and how we learned about faith promise missionary giving. And Brother Jay last week preached so great on the preaching of the word and our responsibility as missionaries where we are and our jobs and our families to preach and then to give. And we have set the whole month aside for worldwide evangelism. Pastor, why would you do that? Why would we set the whole month aside for worldwide evangelism? Well, I think in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 29, very familiar text, very familiar story. You know the story of David and Goliath. You know Goliath to be the great giant troubling Israel. We know David to be the ruddy youth that kills the great giant. But inside this event, I believe there to be a truth for us today that I'd like to springboard off of this morning to get your attention, and then to bring us to the handing in of our faith promise cards. I hope you're prepared today. I hope you brought your card. In a little while, we'll get to that. Verse number 29, the Bible says, "And David said, what have I now done?" This is in response to Eliab, his eldest brother, in verse number 28, when he begins to pick on him and accuse him of pride and of naughtiness and of disrespect and of ill intentions. David has now stood up and said, "I'll take on this Goliath. I'll fight this guy." And everybody's offended at David. And you know the great verse that David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" You know, causes are worth fighting for. We today know what it is to have men and women on the battlefield fighting for the cause of freedom. There is a cause that's worth dying for. There are men and women that have shed their blood so that you and I could live in the United States of America, so that we could be under the freedom flag, and they were willing to give their lives for a great cause. And all Americans said amen to that. There's been many messages preached about, is there not a cause? There's been many preachers that have dissected this chapter and began to talk about giants and began to talk about David and preached and rallied us around, is there not a cause? And they'll give a lot of causes. The cause of Christ, the cause of Christianity, the cause of church. All of those are good causes. But I do believe that there is a specific cause in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that David sets forth for us that has application to us today. David did not fight the giant Goliath so David could be wealthy. Wealth was offered to the man who killed the giant. David didn't fight the giant so he could be married, for Saul offered his daughter to anyone who would kill the giant. She must not have been the most attractive woman, because nobody signed up for that trip. Amen. She was not worth being killed over. Preacher, how could you say something like that? Well, that's just how I came across that. There was the cause of authority. Whoever would kill the giant would receive special position and special cause and special authority inside the nation of Israel. But my friend, I don't believe that David faced the giant for any of those reasons. I believe the reason David faced the giant is found in verse number 46. It's found in a conversation that he has with the giant, with Goliath. It's found here. After Goliath says he's going to kill him, and Goliath talks about all of the hot air that he's going to do, verse number 46, David says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee." Preacher, that's not very Christian. No, but it is biblical, and he did do it. "And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth." David said, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed you and I'm going to feed all of your fellow Philistines to the carcasses of the field. And this day is going to be a day of blood. Everybody else back here may be a coward. They may not want to enlist. They may be afraid. And they're over there hunkered down where it's safe. But I'm standing here and I'm going to kill you and I'm going to kill you. And I've enlisted because there is a cause that has brought me to this position." And David in verse number 46, I believe at the end of that, gives the cause that brought him to face Goliath. David said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David said, "I am not here for my own health. I am not here for my own wealth. I'm not here for my own future advancement. Matter of the fact, I am here risking my very life because I believe that there is a cause worth dying for. There is a cause worth fighting for. And Goliath, the cause is that the whole world may know that there is a God." Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that's a good cause. Amen. A great cause. My friends, I stand today as your pastor to tell you that the cause that the whole world know there is a God is still worth fighting for. Amen. Worth fighting for. There may be churches that are hunkered down, and there may be people that are hunkered down, but that the whole world may know that there is a God and that Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Lord is a cause that ought to be taken up and rushed to the front, and we ought to stand there and we ought to deliver and offer ourselves for that great cause. Tom Brokaw said that the greatest generation to ever live was the World War II generation. My estimation, he is probably right. Probably some of the greatest people that we have that have ever walked the face of the earth came out of that Great Depression, end of that Great War, and some of the finest people we know fall into those categories. He may label them as the greatest generation to ever be. I do not take issue with that. But I do submit to you this, church, there is no greater time in all of the world to be a Christian than it is right at this present moment. We are watching the Bible unfold before our very eyes. I am telling you that I believe that the Lord Jesus is coming very soon. My friend, it is time. It is a great time. It's high time that we remember our cause. Jesus, when he ascended up into heaven and gave us the Great Commission, he said, "Go into all the world." Why are we going into all the world? To preach the gospel. What are we to preach? In Acts, he said, "Be witnesses of me that I am the Lord." And he said, "I want you to start in Jerusalem, which is your home city, and I want you to go throughout the world, and that the whole world may know that I am the Savior." The cause was initiated from the beginning of time, all the way back into the garden, all the way back to the nation of Israel, carried through with David, all the way through the Old Testament prophets, into the New Testament time, and it's still a cause that the Bible-believing church had better understand today. Amen. Now listen, America is not, I need to address the subject. I know that the devil is fighting us in this cause. And I know that the devil is fighting us in our mind. And I know that the devil is fighting us with fear. And I know the devil is telling us that economically and in our society today, that we cannot afford to rally and fight for the cause. Let me be not one iota misunderstood. And I speak this from the authority of God's word. America is in big trouble. We are in big trouble. Our economy is on the verge of collapse. I don't care if they vote in $750 billion. The economy of America will collapse. How do you know that? Proverbs 22, verse number 7 says this. The borrower is servant to the what? To the lender. If you borrow money, you are servant to the lender. It works in an individual case, and it works in a country's case. We are in debt in America, trillions of dollars. We are borrowing and borrowing and borrowing and borrowing and borrowing, and our economy is based on a house of cards, and one day the whole blasted thing is going to crash, and our economy will go down. Preacher, that's pessimistic. No, that's biblical, and I'm going to encourage you in a moment. It's just but a string from coming down. They will rule us. China will rule us. Russia will rule us. Babylon, Iraq, all of those people will rule. The borrower is servant to the lender. No, sir, preacher. America is a great country. We've got great resolve, and we're going to fight for our freedom, and we're going to come together as Democrats and Republicans and independents, and we're going to build this thing almost like building the Tower of Babel, and we will stand as one, and we will not fall. I don't care how great America is or how much we stand together. We will not defy God's word. We won't. The borrower is servant to the lender. We are not a major player in the end times. We are not mentioned in those. We do not exist as a major player. Something happens to us. And my friends, we see it unfolding before our eyes. And we're terrified, and they're all running about, and they're all doing this. And we're worried, and we think, oh God, it's gonna go, it's gonna go. It is gonna go. It is gonna go. One day. It's gonna go. Not only America, but the whole situation will go like the Bible says. Aren't you glad you know Jesus Christ? If you're here today and you don't know Christ, my friend, one day you're gonna stand before him. It will happen, I promise you that. There is a cause. The cause is that the whole world may know Jesus Christ. The devil says you can't afford to do it. The economy is too bad. My friend, the economy is gonna go. And when it goes, you better have God in your corner. You better have the authority of God's word. You better have hope. You better have concrete. My friend, if you're counting on your 401k or the economy, those things are not trustworthy. This has always been trustworthy. Okay. So, preacher, why are you so worked up? My friend, I'm so worked up about this because it's time. It's unfolding before our eyes. And I don't want to lead and be part of a church that's afraid. I hate to be afraid. I hate it. I went fishing in northern Michigan this week. You didn't know I was gone, but God blessed me with a lot of salmon, so it was a good trip. I got on a plane on Monday morning. And I flew into Detroit. I got a car with my dad, and we drove 5 hours. Then we drove another 3 hours. And I got up into the Upper Peninsula. I don't know if you've ever been up in the Upper Peninsula, but there's more bears than there are people. And we were driving down this remote road, and I mean, there's woods and everything, and I'm thinking, where are the people at? All of a sudden, the woods stopped on this side, and there was Lake Huron. Oh, it was majestic. And I thought, okay, that's beautiful. Truck just pulls over, and the guy we were with, he says, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out of this truck. I want you to put your waders on. I want you to walk all the way across that marshy field. Don't worry, there's nothing in there that can hurt you, excuse me. I want you to walk right across there. He says, when you get to the end of to where the lake starts, walk right out into the lake to about chest-high water, take your pole, and throw it out there around the Indian nets and catch you a fish. Now, my first thought was, you're insane, brother. You're insane. He's gone, Tommy. They call me Tommy. Gone, Tommy. You'll be all right. Get out there. Like, there's nothing out there that can hurt me. In Florida, we wouldn't do this. We wouldn't do this. I'm out there standing in that water, and I'm looking. I thought, oh, if an alligator came out of here. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man, I'm throwing. All of a sudden, bam. Oh, I got one. So I'm out there, and I got a 33-inch, 26-pound salmon on, and God's people said, amen. Yeah. This fish is jumping out of the water. I got Indian nets all around me. I know my dad's all the way down there laughing at me. And so I'm pulling this fish, and I get all the back. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, if I'd have been afraid, I'd have never caught any fish. If the church is going to be afraid, we're never going to see the power of God. We're never going to see the glory of God. We're never going to see the hand of God. I refuse to be afraid. I love my country. I love my president. I will love whatever president is elected because I'm a citizen of this country. I'll love them. I may not agree with them, but I'll love them. And I love my nation. But I want you to know something. I am not putting my hope in my nation. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. There's a cause. There is a cause that the whole world will know. Now, we have a marvelous, marvelous opportunity in our church. I have 40 minutes of message left, but I'll just preach half of it and we'll get to the next half some other time. See, we have a worldview. The world is within our walls. Half of our church is born outside the United States. We know what it is to go into places where most of the nation, they don't understand that. But God has strategically placed our church in Broward County. You are strategically placed by God to be a member of this church. I didn't invite you to be a member. I didn't call you to be a member. I didn't make it so you moved to Florida. How in the world did you find us back here? I didn't let you find us back here. How God brought you here. God brought our group of people and is bringing more people because I believe that we're preaching the truth. We understand the salvation. We understand the cause. We're going forward for missions. And so God is bringing people to us because God wants to use Plantation Baptist Church for the kingdom of God. Now, are we going to be afraid and not catch any salmon? Or are we going to do what God has called us to do? Tommy, get out of that truck, walk out there and do all that. You're insane. No, Tommy, what you don't understand was, this guy's name is Mel Gunsville. I wish you could meet Mel one day. Mel is about 5'8" tall, and he's about 1 inch thick. He's the greatest bear hunter in the state of Michigan. Travels to California and traps mountain lions and all of that. One day he got stuck overnight and had to slit his bear and crawl inside that bear and wrap the skin over him just to survive in California. The guy's insane. That's why I said, you're insane. He's from Arkansas. Married a woman when she was 14 years old or 15 years old. He was 18. I guess in Arkansas they do it a little different down there. I don't know. But guy's nuts. Mel has done things I would never do in my life. He doesn't know any fear. Tommy, get out there and walk out there and do that. I said, Mel, them Indian nets, man, the DNR, we're going to be in big trouble. And then he said something to me that brought comfort to me. No. I was here the other day. Yeah, he said, I walked right down there, walked right out there and threw out there. Nothing hurt me, nothing did that. And I caught all the fish and we had a great time. Well, shoot, Mel, if you did it back then I can go do it here. Preacher, what's the application? Jesus is saying to the church, believe me by faith. See the cause. Don't be afraid. I am the eternal God. I have been in the past. I am in the present, and I am already in the future. I have been this way, and I will care for you. Oh, God, how great that is. So here we are. We have opportunities, what we're going to do for worldwide missions. This is what I asked you to do. I asked you to pray. I said, find some time and pray. God, What do you want to do through me for missions? God, I'm not wealthy. I don't have all this. What do you want to do? And if you did faith promise right, this is how you did it. You went to God and you said, God, whatever you want to do through me, I'll receive. I had an amount in mind. I just assumed that's what it would be. And I went to prayer. And God said, let's take that up a notch. How many notches? Well, a couple notches. How many notches? Keep going. Keep going. God, Beverly's going to be mad at you. That was my excuse. Keep going. And I finally got there. I said, God, that's what you want me to do for Faith Promise Missions Giving? God, you know I tithe. I give 10%. Every Sunday I bring tithe 10% of my. This is above that. This is what you're going to do. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, Tom. Okay, God. And I marked my card. And I'm just going to believe him for what God has called. There is a cause. And the cause is that the whole world might know that there is a God. My friend, are you glad you know Jesus Christ? All right. The economy's going to go. It's going to go. Bible says, borrow a servant to lend him. We'll be servant one day. You can't be trillions of dollars in debt and not be servant. We'll be servant. So if your hope is in your government or in your economy, if that would work, then why is this verse in the Bible? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth or rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I don't know about you, but I think it's gut check time for us. It's gut check time for us. When I used to play sports, and I told you I wasn't much of an athlete. I did have athlete's foot a couple of times and helped me. Coach used to say, it's gut check time, Tommy. Get out there and do something. I'll never forget him saying that. It's gut check time. Where's your faith? Who do we believe? Do we believe in the living God to care for us? Or are we going to believe in our man system? It's gut check time. I'm not asking you to do one thing that God doesn't lead you to do, but I am asking you to be willing to do what God called you to do, that the whole world might know Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father God, my responsibility today and my heart today is to lead the people right. I remember when I didn't want to be a preacher. I remember when you came to me as a kid and said, I want you to be in the ministry, Tom. I said, not me, buddy. I remember, Lord, when I ran from that calling, and I remember I went to try to be a basketball, radio, and television broadcaster. I remember I was so miserable. And on my heart, there kept being that knock. Tommy, I want you to be a preacher. I want you to be a preacher. Tommy, be a preacher. That's what I called you to be, Tommy. As an 18-year-old kid, I fell on my face and I began to cry like a little baby. And I said, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Now, God, I'm not a kid anymore. I stand here today with the responsibility of being a pastor. You called it. You gave it to me. To be honest with the people, I'm terrified of the responsibility of being a pastor. Oh, God, to stand up and lead people with such a responsibility. But I'm glad, God, that you've given me the word of God. It is the eternal word. God, my desire today was to lead the people to see that we can trust God's word. We can't trust our own economy, but we can trust the word of God. We can trust the God of the book. There's a cause. The cause for the church was to go and tell the world that Jesus is the Savior. Some need to go. We all need to pray. We all need to give. And so, God, I've asked them to pray. I've asked them based on the authority of your word. I've asked them to promise to give an amount based on the authority of your word. And God, I have promised them that you would meet their need based on the authority of your word. God, I told them if they'll give, you said you'd supply all their need. I know you're not a liar. I know you'll keep your word. If I didn't believe you could keep your word, I'd quit today. Today'd be my last message. I'd go home and I'd go do something different. But I believe you'll keep your word because you are the great God. So God, you're blessing our church. You're enlarging our church. You're testing our church. Hallelujah, you're using our church. So now use us for worldwide evangelism. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you a couple of questions, church. Did you pray? Did you ask the Lord? Preacher, I just don't think it's time to be making a commitment on finances. Oh, it's a great time. You see, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Preacher, I'm afraid. I know. That's why he told Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. Why he said faith comes from God's word. But if you prayed, God laid that on your heart, God's not going to let you down. It's not going to let you down. If you did, you'd be the first. Can I trust him? Sure you can. What if he doesn't give it to me? Then you don't have to give it. It's God's. God led us this way. But you give by faith. I asked you to mark it. What you'd do if you... It's a weekly donation there on the card, but if you want to do something different, you can do it monthly or whatever, just write on the card what you'd have. I'm going to give you a moment of silence while Kevin plays, just between you and the Lord. Now I want you to ask God, God, am I doing what you want me to do? Then God, give me courage. And then God, I'm trusting you to meet my need. Go ahead and take a moment, spend time with your Lord. Okay, Lord, Plantation Baptist Church is ready to respond. There may be somebody who needs next week or the week after, but we're ready to commit. I'm their pastor. As the pastor of Plantation Baptist, and with the people's consent, we make our commitment to worldwide evangelism. God, we do it by faith. We do it trusting you. We do it with great anticipation. And we do it because we love our Lord. And there's a great cause that all the world may know Jesus Christ. One day, God, when I get to heaven, only then will we know the countless souls that our dollar used to win for Christ. Oh, what a day that will be. Receive our commitment. Receive our faith. Respond to us, I pray. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.